I'm Vermont Edition producer Sam Gale Rosen. This podcast has been edited for clarity and brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. On Saturday, the final F-16 flight took off from Burlington International Airport. The older generation of fighter jets is leaving and making way for the newer models, the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter, which are set to have their initial U.S. basing with the Vermont Air Guard arriving this fall. But a lot of questions still remain, both about the F-35 generally, from cost overruns to safety concerns after two recent crashes, and locally, as some Vermonters and communities near the Air Force base continue to vociferously oppose the basing here. Today on Vermont Edition, we're going to look at both of those dynamics, the national and the local. In a few minutes, we'll talk with VT Digger reporter Mark Johnson, who's covered the Vermont side of things for many years now. And we'll also talk with Colonel Hank Harder, the Vice Wing Commander of the 158th Fighter Wing of the Vermont Air National Guard. He's in charge of training and preparations for the fleet of F-35s coming to the state this fall. But before we get into the Vermont specifics, we're going to spend about 10 minutes here with NPR Pentagon reporter Tom Bowman. Tom Bowman, welcome back to Vermont Edition. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Jane. Good to be with you.
Can you remind us how long the F-35s have been in development?
It's been in development for over two decades now. It's the most sophisticated warplane the U.S. has, and there have been a lot of problems with it over the years. Cost overruns. The initial plan was back in 2001 that this program would cost about $233 billion. By October of 2017, that cost rose to $406 billion. And they estimate that the entire cost of the program with maintenance and spare parts will be $1 trillion
wow.
in the coming decades.
And it's something like $158 million per jet, per plane?
Yeah, maybe a little less. I see the average cost is roughly $117 million. Now, the acting defense secretary, Patrick Shanahan, wants to get that cost below $100 million. So that's what they're pushing on now.
Is it somewhat normal, though, to have a long lead up for such a complicated and sophisticated fighter jet? I mean, two decades, unless you know these things, it's hard to put that in perspective.
Yeah, it does take a long time to develop these aircraft. They're very sophisticated again, and this is the most sophisticated airplane that's out there. It has 8.2 million lines of software code. Now, that's four times more than another sophisticated aircraft in the arsenal, the F-22. So, again, very sophisticated. And one of the problems, critics say, is that it was built concurrently, meaning there was no final design for this aircraft when they started building it. They just kind of did it over time. So critics point to that being a problem. You had to change designs. You had to figure out problems with avionics, with the software over the years. Now, supporters say, well, listen, you know, by starting to build it before you had a final design, you actually save time, maybe a decade or more, in developing this aircraft. But again, there's a lot of opposition to this from people. Well, not a lot of opposition. There's a lot of concern and criticism about it. But in Capitol Hill, there's a huge amount of support, partly because this aircraft is built in several dozen states with only 1,500 suppliers. A lot of support on Capitol Hill for this.
Not only that, but aren't a lot of other countries buying these jets as well? So there is money coming in from other countries.
Oh, sure. England is buying it, Australia, Israel. Turkey may or may not get that aircraft because there's a problem there with buying a Russian missile system. So we'll see what happens there. Denmark is another country that's buying this. So, yeah, there's a lot of support for this. And also Japan, of course, is, after the United States, the biggest buyer of this. And, of course, the Japanese have grounded their F-35 because of that recent crash that they're still trying to figure out what happened.
Yeah, we got a note from James at VPR.org who says two crashes plus several other serious accidents demonstrate that the F-35 is not ready to be based in Vermont. The F-35 is a catastrophic accident waiting to happen. Tom Bowman, can you describe these two accidents, one of which is they're still in the recovery process in Japan, off Japan and the Pacific Ocean right now?
Exactly right. The search continues for the Japanese pilot, aided by U.S. warship and also a surveillance aircraft. This crash occurred about 100 miles off Japan. Now, this was a very experienced pilot. He was in his 40s with some 3,200 flying hours. Interestingly, he was one of four pilots, all in F-35 aircraft. The other three made it back, of course. They were out for a training mission. Now, the Japanese Defense Ministry says he issued an abort mission, this pilot that was lost, but he did not issue a mayday call, right? And then they just lost contact with him. There's no evidence that he ejected from the aircraft, no evidence of a chute. So the question, of course, is what happened here? Was there something wrong with the pilot? Was he ill or something? Or was clearly something wrong with the aircraft? At this point, we just don't know. But again, the Japanese have grounded all the F-35s until they get answers to these questions. Now, what's interesting about this aircraft, the one that crashed, is this was manufactured in Japan, whereas most of the F-35s are manufactured in the United States. So could there have been a problem at the Japanese factory that manufactured this F-35? Again, we just don't know. But they're still trying to recover the pilot as well as the plane. And we're told the plane is in about 5,000 feet of water. So clearly they have to get the aircraft, recover the pilot, and also get the flight data recorder to get more information about exactly what happened here.
And there's some concern potentially that other countries not necessarily well aligned with Japan or the United States could try to get some of this information on the F-35, some of the recovery pieces.
Right. This is always a concern when you lose any sophisticated warship or also aircraft. That another country may try to grab it first. This has happened in the Middle East. Some of the drones have gone down and been recovered. And, you know, other countries can sort of reverse engineer them or just try to find out, you know, exactly how this sophisticated equipment works. So they're being very secretive about the recovery of the aircraft for that very reason. They don't want others to know exactly where they are, where they're trying to relocate this aircraft. So, again, they're being very quiet about it. Now, again, this is the second accident involving the second crash of an F-35. The first happened last fall in South Carolina. It was a Marine pilot who had trouble with the aircraft. He ejected and survived, but they found out there was something wrong with the fuel line with his F-35 B variant, the Marine variant. And they grounded all F-35s in the U.S. for about a week or so and then fixed that problem with the fuel line.
We're talking with Tom Bowman, NPR's Pentagon reporter, and we're looking at some big issues with the F-35 fighter jets. And if you have questions for Tom while we have him on here, now would be a good time to call. We're going to turn to more Vermont specifics in a little while, but our number is 800-639-2211. Again, that's 1-800-639-2211. And you can post your comments as well on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.org. Tom is calling in from Rutland. Hi, Tom. Go right ahead.
Hi. I recently read that the Trump administration is going to, I don't know if you'd say, reconfigure this aircraft to become a fighter bomber. And if it's going to become a bomber aircraft, will it be equipped with nuclear weapons? And my second part to that question would be, is Burlington, is the Air National Guard equipped to store nuclear weapons on that base? Those are my questions.
Yeah, Tom, thanks for your call. And I'm going to add another comment in here from Lucy in Burlington, who says, even though the F-35s coming to Burlington are not yet nuclear capable, existing F-35As will eventually be modified to carry nuclear bombs. We won't know if this happens in the future with Vermont-based F-35s because it's classified information. This is frightening. What do you think about Vermont becoming a target when the F-35s arrive? Now, Tom Bowman, we're going to be talking in a little while with one of the members of the Vermont Air Guard to get a little more clarification on what's known and what can be told about the nuclear capability of these F-35s in Vermont. But can you talk a little bit about their weapons capability and what you know?
Well, of course, the U.S. would never talk about whether either a ship or an aircraft carries nuclear weapons. They would say it's nuclear capable, but they would never specify whether or not this particular aircraft is carrying nuclear weapons. But to get to the caller's question, Tom's question, as far as a bomber, this aircraft has a variety of capabilities. It's an electronic warfare platform, meaning it can attack an enemy's radar. It has air-to-air capability, meaning it could be in a dogfight with another aircraft. also air-to-ground, so it does bomb. It could bomb certain targets against a foe. And finally, it can also provide what's called close air support to ground troops with a Gatling gun. So it's sort of a Swiss Army knife for an aircraft. It has a variety of capabilities, but it does have the ability as a bomber. So it's not going to be reconfigured to be a bomber. It actually has that capability already.
And this first round, what is known about this first round of F-35As that are coming to Vermont first? Do you know what they're designed to do?
Well, that would be the Air Force version of it. Mm-hmm. And again, it could do all that I just mentioned, all those capabilities. The one that's really different is the Marine version. It's called a STOVL, for short takeoff vertical landing. So this is like the Harrier jump jet, if people are familiar with that. It mm-hmm. can kind of take off like a helicopter from the deck of a ship and then fly like an aircraft. And that was the first one they started making, and it did have a number of problems. It was too heavy, and other aircraft, F-35, had problems with everything from the ejector seat to the helmet to manufacturing the stealthy skin on the F-35. So, again, this has had a lot of problems, and there's still problems with it, manufacturing problems and other kind of problems that they expect to fix when you get full rate production, probably toward the end of this year. But again, there are still a lot of problems with this aircraft, still very, very expensive, and the jury is still out on this.
So reliability is still an issue for this plane beyond the crashes that we talked about earlier.
Well, it could be. Again, the big question is going to be what happened with this Japanese aircraft. Was it pilot error? Was he sick somehow? Or was it a problem with the aircraft itself? Now, if it's a problem with the aircraft itself, that's going to continue to raise very serious questions about the way ahead with the F-35. But really, at this point, we really just don't know.
The National Interest magazine describes the F-35 as a really troubled plane, and they write, quote, "It continues to dramatically underperform in crucial areas, including availability and reliability, cyber vulnerability testing, and life expectancy testing." And they again say that it's quite troubled. Do you see it that way from your reporting?
Well, from my reporting, yeah, there is still a lot of problems with it. The availability of it, the maintenance will be very, very serious questions on the way ahead. Some point to the cyber capability that, you know, you could hack this aircraft. That's been a real concern as well. So, yeah, that the National Interest does raise some very serious questions about this that critics point to. Again, still a very troubled aircraft, but there's a lot of support on Capitol Hill for this. So don't see this as in any way being canceled. This is full speed ahead with this aircraft.
And when you say full speed ahead, do you expect the deployment of these planes to the Vermont Air Guard base this fall to go as scheduled, as far as you know?
Right. I have no specifics about whether they'll be deployed to Vermont or not, but I would expect them to be. We've heard no concerns and no questions about these aircraft not being deployed to parts of the United States.
Tom Bowman is NPR's National Pentagon Reporter. Tom, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us.
You're welcome, Jane.
Today, we're looking at what's been happening with the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter as it's been developed by the U.S. military. And now we're going to turn to more Vermont specifics. Megan in Burlington says, "I appreciate and honor the service of the Air Guard over the years. However, I have deep concerns about the F-35, including basing of nuclear weapons in the most populated area of the state. I've lived in Vermont for over 40 years and moved here in large part for the beauty and quiet. F-35 screaming overhead don't match that image." Joining us now is VT Digger senior editor and reporter Mark Johnson. He covers Burlington and the Vermont National Guard. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Jane. How are you?
I'm well, thanks, and glad to have you with us today, and hoping that you can take us to the final flight of the last F-16 to leave the Burlington Airport this past Saturday. I understand you were there.
Yeah, and it was quite a historic scene. These are planes that have been part of Vermont for 33 years. They're really an integral part of the Chittenden County economy, and so the last four of the planes, very impressive, were flown out of the Burlington International Airport, took a couple of spins around, and then went off to other bases where they are still flying F-16s, basically putting them into retirement and making way for the arrival this fall of what you've been talking about for the last 20 minutes or so, the F-35s.
We were talking with Tom Bowman about what's happening at the national level, and he mentioned congressional support for the F-35s generally. Certainly, the Vermont delegation has been supportive of the F-35s. Any of them at this final F-16 flight?
No, actually, there were representatives from their offices, but none of them specifically themselves. And I think when you say the congressional support, you really need to point to Senator Patrick Leahy, who has been a huge champion of this program. Many people, in fact, in some of our reporting, his role, you know, he really kind of put his thumb on the scale on this. This was not something that necessarily the Air Force, Vermont being the choice number one, but he's a very influential politician, senior senator on the Appropriations Committee, and certainly you can say that his role was substantial in their basing here today.
And remained supportive. All three, as far as I can see, are still supportive of having these jets come to Vermont. It's not clear if even a lack of support now could derail the train, though.
Yeah, there really is not a Vermont politician that I can think of who has been against this program. Mayor Moreau Weinberger of Burlington has
at least not one who got elected.
True. Good point. One of the leading opponents of the F-35, I think one of the kind of the last stands here of the opponents was trying to promote the candidacy of Roseanne Greco to be the adjutant general, which was not successful. While the politicians have supported it, there has been opposition within the communities of Winooski, South Burlington, Burlington, the three areas that would be most closely affected by noise, for example, and there have been non-binding resolutions in all three of those communities that have asked the Air Force to reconsider the decision, but not successful.
Mark, can you remind us why we have fighter jets here in Vermont to begin with? I mean, and why the F-35s, the Vermont Guard has said, are crucial to the continuing sustainability of a Guard base here?
Well, I can't take you back that far into the history of why they got here at first, but, you know, the continuation here has really been a discussion that seems to focus an awful lot about the economics, the jobs, the little league coaches that spin off from those people being employed. Some of the numbers that we heard over the weekend is that throughout the course of the history of the F-16 program, that there have been, you know, some 5,000 people that have been employed as a result, roughly 1,000 or so today. And those are a lot of the discussion among supporters of this has been about this economic benefit.
Nonetheless, many people are quite concerned about the F-35s. We've heard from a few of them who've been writing in, but specifically communities right in and around the airport area have a lot of concerns. Can you describe the opposition to the F-35s as it has developed?
Well, there have been these maps that get drawn up that discuss noise levels, and the F-35 is, by most accounts, going to be something along the lines of four times as loud as the F-16s. And there is this magic 65 decibel level that makes it not good for humans to be around. And some of the latest projections, the airport has already been, or the FAA, has been already purchasing properties around the airport. And the concern is that these are, quote-unquote, affordable homes that are being removed from the rolls. And there have been estimates of, you know, somewhere in the range of another 1,000 homes when these maps get redrawn will be falling under this level. And then the question becomes, what happens with those homes? Are they going to be part of some buyout program? There's also an elementary school, the Chamberlain School, that is right there. That's been a concern, too. And then there's been this – so there's really been kind of the noise and then the question of having these planes in what is considered to be a fairly dense residential area. And then this nuclear question seems to be one that's come up more recently in terms of the opposition.
Mark, on the question of the noise and the sound levels, the sound maps for the F-35s, why do those keep getting delayed? I think the latest one was delayed for a second time in March.
Good question. The last delay happened during the government shutdown, so that one was almost explainable. But I, you know, Hank might be a better person to have some insight on that than me.
Well, let's bring Hank into the conversation. Colonel Hank Harter is the Vice Wing Commander of the 158th Fighter Wing of the Vermont Air National Guard, and he's in charge of training and preparations for the fleet of F-35s coming to Vermont this fall. Colonel Harter, thank you very much for joining the program today.
Thanks, Jane. Happy to be with you.
So Mark Johnson was just saying maybe you can help explain why we haven't gotten the latest updated sound maps for the F-35s in Vermont.
Yeah, I wish I could. Really, that process is an FAA process, and as Mark mentioned, the government shutdown may have been part of it. I'm really not aware of what the reason for the other part, but I know that the airport has to work with the FAA, and they're really relying on the contractors to be able to produce those noise maps. So I know we're eagerly awaiting those, and I know the airport's going to let us know when those are available.
Let's go to Seth, who's calling in from South Burlington. Seth, hi. You're on the air. You have a question?
Hi. Yes, I have a brief comment and a question just on the issue of the nuclear weapons. I had expressed this concern to Congressman Welch some time ago and had received an assurance from him that he and Senator Sanders and Senator Leahy all would strenuously oppose the basing of any nuclear weapons in Vermont, which set my mind rather at ease on that question. It's also pertinent just on that score that, I mean, the F-16s are nuclear capable also. This is not something peculiar to the F-35s. I'm personally opposed to the basing of the F-35s, but my question is quickly, what is the, apart from enriching the weapons manufacturers, what is the purpose of this machine? I mean, who is it supposed to protect us from that the F-16 or other existing planes couldn't have? Why are we spending $1 trillion on these things?
Seth, thanks for the question. Colonel Harter, just the basics. What is the purpose? Why do we need F-35s?
Sure. This is a very capable platform, and through time we've advanced in military technology. And really, Jane, this F-35 is what's called a fifth-generation fighter. The F-16 was a fourth-generation fighter. So it brings things to the table that the F-16 did not have, and it really is the replacement ultimately for all of the Air Force F-16s as we go through modernization. The biggest thing I would say is that it's stealth capability. It gives the United States an advantage over both an air-to-air, potential air-to-air threat or an air-to-ground threat where we can go places and not be seen, whereas that might not be the case with a fourth-generation fighter like the F-16. So it gives you a big advantage in a wartime scenario, which is the proud men and women of the 158th Fighter Wing are training for each and every day and drill weekend.
One of Hank's colleagues told me last week, Jane, that that they simply weren't able to fly the F-16. There were places that they felt it was unsafe to go, that the technology to detect them had risen to the point where really the F-35 would allow them to go places that they just can't go today.
So, Mark Johnson, can you describe for me, before we come back to Colonel Harter on this, a little bit more about the concern that people are expressing now, specifically about the nuclear capability of the F-35s and the potential for nuclear storage, nuclear bombs being stored in Vermont? And then we're going to get an update here from Colonel Harter. But in the absence of anybody who's calling in to express this point at the moment, Mark, what are people concerned about?
Well, the concern is that the F-35, as Hank described, this is the next generation of fighter planes. I think you will see the documentation that by 2025 or so that the hope is that this will have a nuclear capability. I think where there's been a little bit of a disconnect is that there's been an impression that has been left by some that the planes that are going to be showing up starting in September are going to come rolling in, you know, basically armed with nuclear weapons. My understanding, my limited understanding of how this works, is that the planes the can be retrofitted so that they have the capability to have these bombs. The bombs are also being looked at being manufactured in a way that they might even fit into the current weapon slot that the F-35 will have. My understanding also is that in some cases they're not stored on site, so it might require going and, you know, picking them up somewhere else. But the concern is that if you have a plane with a nuclear capability or you have those weapons anywhere stored, that you become a target by people that want to take out our hardware and software. That's the concern.
Yeah. So, Colonel Harder, a lot of people expressing this concern and expressing some confusion about, so what is happening here? What are we going to know? How are we going to know if things are changing? What can you tell us about the F-35As that are going to be coming to Vermont this fall, and then the potential for some upgrades that could make them capable of carrying these nuclear bombs?
Sure. What I can share with you is the version of the F-35A that we at the Vermont Air National Guard are going to get this fall is not the nuclear-capable version, nor are there any plans at this time to make it a nuclear-capable version, nor do we have the nuclear mission here with the Vermont Air National Guard.
Okay, so that's what you can tell us about right now, but people are saying, okay, they could be given a hardware upgrade that could make them capable of carrying out a nuclear mission, and from what we've heard, we might not know that.
Yeah, Jane, and I'm not an engineer, so I can't speak to that. I do know that the version that we have will not be nuclear capable, nor do we have a nuclear mission here. So that's, I don't want to try to hypothesize on topics that I don't have an expertise in. So I could tell you that I know for a fact that we will not have the nuclear version of the F-35 as it comes here to Vermont.
And as you said, the Vermont Air Guard does not have a nuclear mission, at the moment at least. What about the possibility for storing nuclear weapons at the Vermont Guard base? Is the Vermont Guard base even capable of that?
Yeah, and Jane, here I'll have to go back to the DOD policies. Really, DOD policies, we can't confirm or deny the presence of nuclear weapons at individual bases. But I just can share with you that we do not have a nuclear mission here, and nor will our version of the F-35A be nuclear capable.
So you can understand then how people who are either concerned about this or who are looking for ways to continue to prevent the arrival of the F-35s might both seize on this to say, whoa, we don't know what's happening in our own communities in a highly densely populated area of Vermont, many community members living right near the guard base and right near the airport, and you can't tell us if we could or are or may at some point store nuclear weapons.
Yeah, and part of that, obviously, Jane, is part of DOD policy. But
right.
What I can share is, as you know, and Mark mentioned it, and he got to meet a lot of our proud men and women in the Guard, is we are members of the community, too. And so that's what I will share is, you know, I have lived in Burlington. I live in Shelburne now. We raise families here. We part of the community, the economic community, and all of the extracurricular activities that go on. So I can tell you from my standpoint, I feel very comfortable living and working here at the base. I've been part of the Guard for 29 years. And it's a bright future for the Guard and the men and women of the unit. And we're really looking forward to the F-35.
Andy emails in to say, as a Burlington resident who lives within the 65 decibel noise contour, this issue is truly in my backyard. I've heard two regular arguments. One side is support the military at all costs. The other is more like no war at any cost. This black and white presentation ignores the gray area many of us have to live in. This is really about the lack of practicality that comes with basing an unproven and unreliable weapon at a civilian airport. What about that unreliability, Colonel Harder? We've been talking about it with Tom Bowman earlier, the problems with the plane's capability, the cost overruns, and certainly of concern these two recent crashes.
Yeah, Jane, the platform has been flying now for over 10 years, and statistically the safety record is actually quite good. It's coming up past 180,000 hours of flight. More than 370 F-35s have been delivered. And I think if you look historically, I mean, we flew the single-engine F-16 here for a long time with an impeccable safety record. So from my standpoint, the jet is continuing to develop, but has got a strong safety record now, and in the hands of the men and women of the Vermont Air Guard with a great maintenance and flying record, we will continue that.
Let's go to Millie, who's calling in from Bennington. Millie, hi. Go right ahead.
This was a Republican thing, pushing these F-35s in the beginning, and it's too much money to the Pentagon. It's a military industry, manufacturing, killing machines. We need some new thinking. You can destroy a country today with cyber warfare free by pressing buttons. And I drive a 1995 Subaru when it was well made to last. And that's it for me, and thank you.
Millie, thanks for your comment. Leah in Burlington says, F-35s are covered with toxic materials. Are our neighborhood fire departments and first responders equipped and trained to handle an F-35 crash in a residential area? Are they fully informed about the risks of exposure to toxins released in a fiery F-35 crash? Mark Johnson, what do you know about preparations in the surrounding communities for the arrival of the F-35s?
You mean in terms of fire preparation or just general preparation?
Well, I guess general emergency preparation, evacuation plans. I mean, there are different thinking, but a lot of these have been in place with the F-16s as well.
Yeah, that one I'm going to punt that one to Hank.
Colonel Harder?
Thank you, Mark. I'm happy to talk to that. The outstanding men and women of the Vermont Air National Guard Fire Department here, Jane, are ready to respond to any civil or military crasher around or incident around the airport, as unlikely as it may be. Similarly, they do a lot of training with the surrounding fire departments, called mutual aid, so with South Burlington, Winooski. And so as we go forward, you're exactly right that the F-16 had some composite materials as well. And so they're really trained to respond to any aircraft in the Air Force inventory and civilian aircraft as well. And they do training with the local fire department.
Mark Johnson, what do you expect to see in the future as we move forward toward the arrival of the F-35s in terms of opposition, protests, you know, anything as we get closer to this time when they're supposed to arrive that people who are still really opposed to this on many different grounds, you know, what are they going to do?
Well, I think you've probably identified what's going to happen. I would expect there's going to be a number of protests. You know, there may be further, you know, attempts to get legislative groups to pay attention to this. But, you know, I think at this point it sounds as though the die has been cast and these planes are going to be showing up. I mean, I think a real question is whether or not, given all the delays that have been in this program, you know, whether or not that September date really, really occurs.
And Colonel Harder, what do you know about the timeline, what we are likely to have in terms of actual arrival dates for the F-35?
Yeah, Jane, we don't have the exact date, but we can tell you we're still on track for a September or October arrival of the first two F-35s. And we're looking forward to getting them here so we continue our mission transition to this new platform.
That's Colonel Hank Harder, Vice Wing Commander of the 158th Fighter Wing of the Vermont Air National Guard. He's in charge of training and preparations for the fleet of F-35s coming to Vermont this fall. Colonel Harder, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Jane. My pleasure.
And we've also been talking with Mark Johnson, senior editor and reporter with VT Digger. He's been covering the final flight of the F-16s from Vermont and also looks at Burlington and Vermont Guard issues. Mark, nice to talk with you. Thanks.
You too. Thanks, Jane.